When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." I speak to you this evening in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, year after year, the people of Israel celebrated the Passover, the remembrance of God's saving acts that freed them from bondage in Egypt and brought them into being as a people. And yet, in the first century, looking at the social, political, religious landscape, you would be forgiving for feeling like this was a bit of a hollow celebration. In a lot of ways, there just wasn't much to get excited about. After the Exodus, and after a few hundred years of sort of fitful self-rule under judges and kings, God's people were overtaken and sent into exile for another few generations. And then, even upon their return to the land God promised them, they were still under foreign occupation. The Babylonians, then the Greeks, and the Romans. And this was a far cry from the glory represented in those mighty acts by which God had saved his people so long ago in the first Passover and the Exodus. And yet, this is where God's people found themselves in the first century when Jesus comes on the scene. That is, having sort of the memory and hope of freedom and fullness of life, maybe experiencing semblances of it at various times, but still knowing that there is much more to be had. And so the people still feeling trapped, oppressed, in exile. During some of these darker periods in Israel's history, God's prophets had spoken words of hope into the life of his beleaguered and despairing people, instilling in them an eager expectation that someday things would change. Someday God would work fully and finally to destroy their enemies and to usher in God's rule, God's kingdom in earnest. Jeremiah prophesied to those in exile years before and said, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. A new covenant where I will be their God and they shall be my people." Isaiah spoke of the glory of the Lord shining upon his people, rejoicing over them and ushering them into peace, making them into a beacon of light that the nations will stream to. This is the hope that plagued God's people. Such a beautiful vision, and yet so seemingly far away. And then, after years and years and generations of longing, wondering, hoping, when the time had come, Jesus takes his place at the table with his disciples. And on this night, as Jesus eats this Passover before he suffers, that new covenant, so long awaited, is finally established. And in a way that no one could have anticipated. The kingdom of God that Jesus embodies is announced not through a political rally, but in a meal shared with friends. It is established not by a military victory, but by the blood that Christ will pour out on the cross. And here, as the life and ministry of Jesus comes to its startling conclusion, we begin to see that the redemption that God had promised, this kingdom that he ushers us into, it goes deeper than we could ever imagine. And it reaches farther than we could ever see. It's not only a new covenant with God's people, but the very seeds of a new heaven and a new earth. And we are invited to partake of it through this holy meal. From the soul's most subtle rooms, to use a phrase from George Herbert, from the soul's most subtle rooms to the black holes that are 55 million light years away, from the checkered history that plagues us all, to the hopes that are so dear to us that we dare not even speak them out loud. All of it, every single bit of it, is taken up and concentrated and made sense of here in this moment, in this meal that Christ shares with us. In these simple elements of bread and wine. For it is just here that the Son of Man, the Word made flesh, the one through whom all things were made, it is just here that he gives himself to us. It is just here where he establishes and fulfills the new covenant by his blood. It is just here that he ushers us into his renewing work that is our life and peace. Here, in this meal, Christ takes simple elements of creation and transforms them into the very bearers of the kingdom of God. The bread and the wine, as they are taken and blessed and broken and poured out and given, they bespeak his redemptive work in all its fullness. His mingling with this broken creation in his incarnation. His submission to it unto death. His transformation of it by his sacrifice and his reweaving and renewing of it through his resurrection. And we are invited here to encounter this mystery. Not just to observe it or ponder it, but to actually participate in it. This is God's gracious gift to us. Here in this meal, we are rescued from our own bondage and exile and are brought into union with Christ and with one another. Here in this meal, we are established in the new covenant by his blood. Here in this meal, we are given the seeds of the new creation. Because here in this meal, the author of life fills us with his very life and makes us bearers of his kingdom.